Everyone in the show's poor.
Bring me the riches.
Where are the riches?
Here they are. You found them. They're at the country club. They've been here all along.
Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson. It's reality.
Cleanup continues to...
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 402, Failing Down, which originally aired on October 11th, 2000, my friend Caitlin's birthday.
Happy birthday, Caitlin.
The big 16.
Oh my God, getting your license. Yeah, we didn't even talk about how last episode debuted on October 4th. So it's a little bit of a late start to the season, but the WB usually did come back like late September, early October.
Yeah, it allowed me personally to get into the swing of school, have something to look forward to, get a little buzz brewing about the promos and everything, get excited.
What are we drinking for Failing Down?
We are drinking the Grateful Dead. It is tequila, vodka, rum, gin, Chambord, and sour mix. Booze forward.
Wow, that is a lot of alcohol.
Sure is.
Well, I am going to dive into the recap of episode 402, Failing Down.
Tell us what it's about.
It is the first day of school, and Pacey and Joey are walking in. They're discussing how Pacey has been asked to visit the guidance counselor's office today after school, and they also chat about what their policy should be moving forward regarding kissing at school. And they tease each other and have banter back and forth right before they share a kiss, right as Dawson walks up and catches them. So later, Pacey shows up for his guidance counselor appointment, only to discover that the new counselor is Mitch, Mr. Leary. Mitch asks Pacey what he has been doing all summer, and Pacey replies that he was sailing. Mitch gets very serious, pointing out that Pacey failed 3 subjects last year, and he should have been in summer school. Pacey admits that he didn't even look at his report card. Mitch tells Pacey that he is in big trouble, and he will need to retake those failed classes after school in addition to completing his senior year. When Pacey asks what happens if he doesn't pass any of these, Mitch warns him, come May, he'll be watching Joey and his friends graduate and move on, while Pacey has to do another year stuck in high school in Capeside. So meanwhile, Andy and Joey are discussing college plans, and Joey is worried she'll end up at community college if she doesn't find a job soon. Andy mentions the Capeside Yacht Club and that they're hiring. Joey's very hesitant about working there, but Andy reassures her that it's a great way to make money, and she suggests name dropping if the interview doesn't go well. Andy says that her family is kind of like a black sheep right now, but she should name drop the Ross family. During the interview, Joey tries to impress the manager, Mrs. Valentine, and she pretends to come off a little bit rich and snobby, and says that her dad works in pharmaceuticals, which of course we know is code for drugs, and that she spent the summer sailing. Mrs. Valentine doesn't believe her and says the position has been filled. So taking Andy's advice, Joey mentions the Ross family and that she heard about the job from them, and adds that they're on the club's board. So this changes Mrs. Valentine's attitude immediately, and she offers Joey the waitress position. So Dawson runs into Gretchen, who tells him that she and Pacey are apartment hunting and they're planning to move in together. Gretchen offers to help reconcile Dawson to Pacey, but Dawson is not interested. They run into each other at a consignment shop where Gretchen teases Dawson about his taste in music, and they share a light little flirtatious moment. Later, Mitch catches Dawson listening to a Grateful Dead album, one he was planning to sell to the store before Gretchen convinced him otherwise. Mitch fills Dawson in on Pacey's academic troubles and asks him to help Pacey, but Dawson refuses, saying that Pacey made his choice and doesn't deserve the benefits of Dawson's friendship. Mitch then suggests that Dawson find someone else who can help Pacey if he won't. And of course, we know he means Joey. So while apartment hunting with Gretchen, Pacey confides in her about his dilemma and his school troubles. He's overwhelmed by the idea of retaking 3 failed classes while keeping up with his current workload. He admits to Gretchen that he hasn't told Joey yet because he feels like a loser compared to her. And Gretchen encourages him to be honest with Joey. At Graham's house, Jen is obsessively checking her email, waiting for a response from Henry because he hasn't been replying. This is a stark contrast to the summer where they were in constant communication despite being apart. Jen wonders if she's a bad cybersex partner, while Jack checks his email and finds a disturbing message. When he's alone with Andy, he reveals received an email from Henry saying that Henry wants to take a break from Jen. Andy is shocked and appalled given Henry's grand gestures towards Jen last year. He totally courted her just to do this. Jack tells Andy that he promised Henry he'd talk to Jen, and Andy advises him to stay out of it. Ignoring her advice, Jack probes Jen a little bit about how she would feel if Henry dumped her. Jen sees right through this and knows that Jack has spoken to Henry, but he won't really give her a straight answer, and it leads to a fight between the two best friends. At the yacht club, Joey is totally overwhelmed by her new job, and she encounters a nasty customer who insults her. He makes insinuations that she's probably a single mom with a little rugrat, and that's why she's so terrible at her job. And they banter back and forth until he signs the check as Owen Ross, the same name that Joey used to get hired. So she changes her tune. Later that night during dinner, Joey asks Pacey how his guidance counselor appointment went, and he completely avoids the topic. Instead, they start talking about her job and how she wants to make money so she can get out of Capeside and not be a townie. And this triggers Pacey. He does not like her attitude towards people who stay around Capeside, knowing that could potentially be his fate. He accuses her of being a snob, and they get into a scuffle. Back at the yacht club the next day, Joey continues waiting on Owen Ross, who gossips about all the members and tells Joey everything she needs to know about them, including Mrs. Valentine. He says that Mrs. Valentine's husband left her for a much younger woman, which explains her bitter attitude. Joey says, no wonder she's such a bitch. Dawson eventually tells Joey that something's going on with Pacey and that she should talk to him. Joey gets defensive. How would Dawson know if something's wrong with Pacey and not her? Dawson explains that people often hide their struggles from those they love because they don't want them to see their flaws. Joey confronts Pacey, who deflects by focusing on how Dawson found out. She calls Pacey out for skipping school and how he always does this. He always runs away when things get a little bit hard. Pacey says that must be why he's a loser, and Joey insists that he is not a loser. She reminds him that they had an amazing summer together, and she thought they were a great team. Mrs. Valentine confronts Joey about checks signed by Owen Ross, revealing the Ross family is out of town. So this blows up Joey's lie about knowing them. Just as Joey's about to be fired, the man claiming to be Owen Ross shows up, and it turns out to be Mrs. Valentine's son, Drew. He saves Joey's job by saying that Owen was here, he saw him. Later with Joey, he explains that he just wanted to play a little game with her because he completely saw through her and knew that she would never know the Rosses. Joey calls him a freak, and he half apologizes. So Jen turns to Dawson for comfort about Henry, and Dawson reassures her, saying that love always involves hurt, or often at least. But friendship is constant. Jen got Dawson through so many heartbreaks, and he wants to return the favor. Jen apologizes to Jack, who admits that he shouldn't have been the one to deliver the news. They reconcile, agreeing that Jen needed Jack to be her shoulder, not the messenger. Pacey meets up with Joey and tells her that he's sorry for not confiding in her. Gretchen got him to realize that he should be able to tell her anything. She's glad at least one person in the Witter family has some common sense. Pacey says he fell in love with Joey, knowing full well that she would never choose him over Dawson. That was the one condition he fell in love with her with. When Joey did choose him over Dawson, it completely wrecked his world. It made the impossible possible. So now Pacey's completely in his head and he's overthinking everything. Joey doesn't understand what Dawson has to do with Pacey failing out of school. And Pacey says that's because Dawson would never fail out of school. And Joey says, you're right, he never would. But you know what else he would never do? He would never convince me to run away with him for a summer like you did. She says she had the best summer with him. And yes, she has a history with Dawson, but she's creating her own history with Pacey. That's what this summer was all about. They have nothing to do with Dawson. The last 3 months at sea were a dream, but they didn't even come close to weathering the storm. Their relationship so far has been a 3-month vacation, and it's going to get hard now because the details will be what define whether they make it or not. He breaks down and tearfully tells Joey that he's really scared, and he's really scared he might flunk out of school and not do this. Joey assures him that he can do it and they'll get through it together. No matter what happens, they can get through it as long as they stay by each other's side. And that is episode 402, Failing Down.
Lots happens this episode.
Lots of drama, lots of angst, lots of fighting. Beginning of season 4 is kind of harking back to the beginning of season 2, where when Dawson and Joey finally got together, like every episode was a little obstacle, like how to communicate as a couple. Now we are seeing Joey and Pacey clashing, obstacles, how to communicate as a couple, how to be a couple around everyone in Capeside, and how to adapt to going from friends to a couple.
Yeah.
And every episode is just going to be a little bit of a little argument.
Little trial, little tribulation.
Because we've been at sea for 3 months, but we didn't even come close to weathering the storm. And that is also in the promo, that line.
Man.
So who wrote this?
Well, you can give credit to Tom Kapanos for writing that little ditty. We've talked about him a bunch. As you know, he was first with us on episode 305, Indian Summer, which he wrote with Gina Fattori. And he was last with us on episode 323, which he also wrote with Gina Fattori. His last solo episode was 319, Stolen Kisses. He, Gina, Greg, Jeff. There was a group of writers who kind of got us through the third season, and he was an integral part of that.
I love Tom Kapanos.
The best.
Not Kapanos, which is how we've mispronounced it for a long time.
Also, Nina Repetta.
Yeah, someone DM'd us and said we were saying Repetta wrong.
It's not even Nina. It's Nina.
It's not even Nina. It's Nina. I'm never, ever going to. I'm just going to apologize in advance. I'm never going to adjust to that.
Well, Nina Repetta is one of those things that you read. This happened to me so much in high school and middle school and elementary school, where you read something before you hear it said. And then that's just what it is. That's how you learned it. That's how it's cemented in your brain.
Nina Repetta it's Nina Repetta. It just flows off the tongue. It's like a Harry Potter character.
Did you see that interview with Demi Moore where she was like, yeah, I was talking to Demi Lovato, and it's like, you know, our names are spelled the same, but she's Demi Lovato. It's not Demi Lovato, and I'm Demi Moore. It's not Demi Moore.
No. So Demi Moore confirmed that it's Demi.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've never really seen that confirmed.
Yes. She's like, Demi Lovato? No, it's Demi Lovato. Flows. Same thing. Nina Repetta. Just rolls off the tongue.
So what is it? Nina Repetta?
Nina Repetta, I think.
Nina Repetta.
Maybe, yeah.
Look, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to find an interview.
Stay tuned. By season 6, we'll have it all hammered out.
But thank you to Colby, who told us it was Nina Repetta. Yeah, it is.
Thank you to Colby for bringing this to our attention.
Anyway, we're off the rails. Where are we now?
Director. Do you want to know who directed it?
Yes.
This episode was directed by Sandy Smolin. Sandy Smolin was first with us for episode 214, To Be or Not to Be, and he was most recently with us for 314, Valentine's Day Massacre. So he did episodes 214 and 314. As a refresher, he directed a ton of stuff. He had episodes of Ally McBeal, One Tree Hill, The OC, Everwood, among tons of other stuff. He's a solid director, and he's back with us for this episode. I think he's with us for one more this season as well. So this is not the last time we'll be seeing Sandy.
So what about guest cast shout out?
I am going to give the guest cast shout out this episode to Mark Matkovich. Don't know if I'm saying that correctly. Now I'm doubting myself around every corner after Nina Repetta, but he plays Drew Valentine. This is his first episode, obviously, but he will be with us for the entire season. So this is just the start of Drew Valentine. He went on from Dawson's to do a lot of acting. He had episodes of Ed, Joan of Arcadia, Dexter, NCIS. He had his part in Sweet Home Alabama. And he stopped acting in 2012. So I was curious about that. I looked into it, and it's because he opened an art gallery called Axiom Contemporary. It was opened in Santa Monica in 2011, but then they have since shut down that location. And now they've opened two others, one in Phoenix and one in Philly. He's from the Philly area. Pennsylvania boy.
Like me.
Yeah. So that's Mark Matkovich. So if you're in Phoenix or Philly, check out his art gallery. You might just bump into Drew Valentine.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I think he is so cute.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I'm very attracted to Drew Valentine. I always have been very attracted to Drew Valentine.
He's a good looking dude for sure. He has like a long face to me this way.
Nah, that would be wide the other way.
He doesn't have an Hey Arnold face. No,
I think he's so cute. I just, you know, I love a preppy. Oh, I think he's so cute. I loved him. You know, I always like the little bad boy villainy kind of.
He does kind of have like a Ralph Lauren catalog vibe to him.
Yeah. Anderson Crawford.
Drew Valentine.
Everyone in the show's poor.
Bring me the riches.
Where are the riches?
Here they are. You found them. They're at the country club. They've been here all along.
And I love Mrs. Valentine.
Music moment. You got anything?
Music moment. The only thing I remember is at the end when Joey and Pacey are making up. It's is it Superman? Five for Fighting?
It is. That's mine as well. And I very much so associate the song with Dawson's Creek because it was on the soundtrack, but I could have never told you when it played.
Right.
But when it came on, I was like, oh, here it is.
I'm going to be honest. Music moments this season won't be like iconic Dawson's moments that live rent-free in my mind. And I think of it every time I hear the song. It'll just be like great songs that play. Right.
But there are a lot of great songs.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know season four like I know the first three seasons.
Past versus present.
I don't have a past versus present here, I must say.
I just want to put a little button on the Jen Henry of it all, because this is the Jen Henry breakup episode. The storyline, we hit on it last season, so I don't have too much to say, but it was just so much more of a flop than I remembered. Nothing happens. I stand by the fact that I think Michael Pitt is really cute. And I stand by that there are moments where Henry was like, oh, yeah. But then it was just more of the same, more of the same. Nothing happened. The whole storyline was just a big nothing burger to me. And now it's over. And in my head, it was like this great big romantic relationship arc. It was really nothing.
Yeah. And I'm glad Andy pointed all that out. They gave it to Andy in her dialogue, just being like, after all of that, yes. He stalked her. It was weird.
Big grand gestures, borderline stalking. Yeah. So good riddance. See you later.
But I mean,
Henry.
I'm glad. Yeah. Like, we don't need a whole big drawn out.
No, we didn't need to see
it. But it fits with Henry's character, because Henry was like a little like horny, gawked at the first girl who kind of gave him a. So I could buy that he went to a new school and immediately just gawked over a new girl.
Completely. Have fun at Hanover Prep or wherever you are.
Yeah.
See you never.
See you never, foo.
Shall we open it up?
Let's open this sucker up. Crack it open.
I love this cold open. We've got some good Joey Pacey banter. They're going to school. First day of school. First day of school energy. First day of senior year energy. Very specific. We kind of touched on it last episode, but I remember it so clearly. That like buzz of senior year. And then they have a cute conversation about will they kiss at school? Won't they kiss at school? They kiss and Dawson scoots right on by to get into class. And this is more of that like new subtle Dawson. James Vanderbeek doing some really nuanced acting. You can tell he's not happy, but he's not over the top. I loved it. I love the whole thing.
Almost to like a shocking degree. Like, I was shocked that this wasn't a bigger moment.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way.
Yeah.
But like last season, it would have been a bigger, like it was just an excuse me. And even their reactions were subdued.
I have to say, I did notice in this opening scene that the extras are looking a little bit younger this year. I feel like they're not all 35-year-old men.
1,000%. Very believable high school students. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Andy. I love Joey. I love their friendship moments. But like, they're not going to talk about Pacey or like running away with Pacey or that Joey's with Pacey.
I'm with you. It is weird. I feel like they could have even maybe played it off if Andy hadn't just talked last episode about how she didn't want to see Pacey, or like, I feel like I could have in my brain justified that she was completely over it or like just not thinking about it if they hadn't brought it up. But they brought it up. So I'm like, you know that that's what she's thinking about. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a little jarring because they're just back in complete friends and they're talking about money and how Joey needs money or she'll end up at community college. And she's saying, well, the yacht club's hiring. You should go there and you should name drop it. Don't name drop me. Name drop the Rosses. And there should have at least been a mention of like, let's just go a little longer without talking about this, or, you know, let's. At least, now that we've talked about Pacey, even if they talked about it off screen, which I wouldn't have loved, but
I'm with you. I did love that they're walking by the water and they're walking past homes and there was one porch. Did you notice with the there's an old couple on the porch.
Yeah.
And I want to know what their story is. That is my life goal, to live by the water on a little porch with some rocking chairs and my lover.
We love an old person moment.
Love it. But here's my question. Why can't Joey go back to working at the B&B?
Maybe it just doesn't pay enough.
Or Bessie's got it under control and they don't want someone else in the books. I don't know.
Yeah, or like, why doesn't she go work at Leary's Fresh Fish?
Yeah, it feels like there are so many places she could work. That tripped me up a little bit, but
maybe because, like, you know, when you work for family business, are you making money there, or do you work for free? Or
yeah,
I could see Joey like working at the B&B for like free just to help out. You know, like they're not going to take money out of the pot to pay payroll.
And that's a good point, because before she left, they weren't making any money, so she wasn't making any money.
Gretchen and Dawson ran into each other on Main Street outside of a consignment shop because Gretchen is looking for apartments because she's moving out of Doug's and she and Pace are going to get a place together. And she's like, it breaks my heart that you guys are estranged. I can help you get back together. And he's like, no, thanks.
She's like, oh, sorry I brought it up.
He's like, I'm good. I got a new haircut. I paint houses now.
And I'm about to make $12 selling these CDs. back to Sam Goody.
I'm into photography now. I don't need music.
And she was like, oh my God, what were you thinking? Vanilla Ice? Ugh.
Whatever. We all had that. Actually, we didn't have the CD. We had the cassette.
Speaking of being rich, CDs?
Okay, rich. And she's like, okay, you're getting rid of the Grateful Dead. And he's like, my mom and dad tried to get me into it, but like, I couldn't get into it.
She's like, ugh, your mom and dad have better musical tastes than you.
You loser.
You young loser.
Did you ever get into the Grateful Dead? My friends were all into it. I couldn't ever get into them.
No. I do enjoy some of their songs, but I was Dave Matthews kind of girl. That was my jam band of choice.
But I feel like Grateful Dead was so much earlier than Dave Matthews.
I mean, it was, but like by the time I was ready to listen to a jam band, they both had a large catalog.
Yeah. What about OAR?
Love.
It was a crazy game of poker. I saw them because they came to
lost it all.
They came to Syracuse, I think, like Syracuse University, and they performed at like the Student Center underground or whatever. And I remember realizing I only knew like poker and they didn't really have any other songs I liked. But like the songs went on for like 15 minutes or whatever. And then someone was like, yeah, like they're a jam band.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like the first time I ever like A, or either heard that term, or B, just had like a, you know, that was when I saw it in practice, I guess. And that's when I realized that jam bands are not for me.
Fair enough.
I don't want to see someone play an instrument for 20 minutes straight.
I loved OAR. Love and Memories. I Feel Home. You know that song?
Who sings The General?
That is Dispatch, another great jam band.
But anywho, we digress. The point is, Gretchen and Dawson bond over Grateful Dead, or she says, you should like the Grateful Dead, they're good.
So he keeps that CD.
Jan, meanwhile, is spiraling because Henry has not emailed her back or texted, or they don't even have phones, emailed or IM'd her back, and she's worrying that she's a bad cyber sex partner.
They're coming off a summer of pretty relentless, nonstop communication, and now that he's at prep school, all of a sudden it's kind of ground to a halt.
And they must have just been IMing cyber sexing all summer.
Wild. What a crazy time.
Yeah. ASL.
ASL.
We all did it.
17F, New Jersey.
Even though I was like 15 posing as like a 25-year-old. And they'd always be like, do you have Yahoo Messenger? We can talk on the microphone on there. And I was like, no, I don't have a microphone.
No, my computer doesn't have that. I'm 12 years old.
But Jack logs into his AOL account and then he gets a shocking email, but we don't see what it is.
And I love that it is the real, you got mail.
I love it.
Love it.
Beachdays4@AOL.com. What was yours?
Babyblue96@AOL.com.
Yeah.
And it was 96 because I made it in 1996.
Well, yeah, not because you were born then.
Well, it's not like my birthday is September 6th. I don't know. A lot of people did their birthday.
I don't know where I got 4 from. Anywho, we're back at the yacht club. It looks lovely.
Does.
I want to go there.
Joey starts talking about her past experience at the ice house. And the woman interviewing her says, sounds like a charming little joint about the ice house. As you said in the recap, she asked what daddy does. And she says, daddy's in pharmaceuticals. They say daddy a lot. It's very uncomfortable. But Joey's doing that thing that she's done so many times. And we've watched her do really well in previous seasons where she's just faking it till she makes it. She knows how to talk like these people. She's been surrounded by them her whole life. The woman interviewing her asks where she summers. She says, I spent my summer sailing, actually. You know, like she never misses a beat. So as long as the person in front of her doesn't know her history, she can kind of skate through, but she gets caught up in this interaction.
Mrs. Valentine does catch on and see through it. And she says, oh, on that sailing trip, were you a deckhand or a stowaway? And Joey's like, well, if you're done with your thinly veiled bitchy comments.
Bitchery. You're done with your thinly veiled bitchery. Is there even a position to be had? And she's like, actually, I think the position's been filled. And obviously then Joey drops the names of the Ross family. But even still, the fact that she gets that job is wild. If someone said thinly veiled bitchery to me, I would be like, ma'am, get out of here. I cannot give you this job.
But the Rosses have the power to fire Mrs. Valentine because they're on the board.
Yes, that's true.
You know, in those small towns, it's all who you know, especially in Cape Side. We know the class warfare that goes on in Cape Side. We were all at Miss Windjammer.
How could we forget?
We never forget. So then Pacey goes to see the new guidance counselor and it's Mitch. And Mitch looks so good.
Hey there, Mitch. Mr. Leary.
Mr. Leary. Mitch can be my guidance counselor. Mitch can guide me to the bedroom.
I like that Mitch is like, I work at the school. I'll do whatever they want me to do. He doesn't really have a position.
Very versatile.
He's flexible.
I love his big fat tie. So thick. It's the thickest tie I've ever seen.
Give me that thick tie.
And his desktop computer is so big. Well, anyway, he's like, Pacey, what have you been doing all summer? And Pacey's like, I've been sailing. And he's like, well, you should have been in summer school because he failed three classes last year. And you need to take them this year after school in addition to all of your senior classes. And Mitch is basically like, you're screwed. And Pacey's like, well, what if I can't do it? And Mitch is like, no, you can. It's fine. You can do it after school. And Pacey's like, no, like, what if I can't do it? Like, he just can't pass them. And Mitch is like, well, you're going to see all your friends graduate while you stay here in Capeside.
I love that. He's like, did you look at your report card? It would have told you they have to come to summer school. And he's like, no, I just left. I never even got it.
Like, I left right after your wedding.
Yeah, I kind of liked it, though. I liked that it was Mitch who broke this news to Pacey. Like, if it had been one of our standard guidance counselors, I feel like his attitude would have been way different about it. But the news coming from Mitch and the support, Mitch was trying to be supportive and offer options. And
they reference Mr. Milo at the top. They don't say his name, but they're like, the old guy, you know, he's gone.
Retired early.
Poor Mr. Milo.
Mr. Milo thought he was really making some progress with Pacey. And then Andy went to the loony bin and lost everything. All that progress.
Okay, you have a brother.
Uh-huh.
Gretchen is leading Pacey up to the apartment, holding his hand, grabbing his hand, leading him by the hand. Have you ever touched your brother's hand?
No. Like,
who does that?
She's like pulling him by the wrist.
I think it's weird. I don't think siblings touch.
Would probably not.
You pose for pictures, you hug at airports.
Or if he was really like not moving, if he was like refusing, I might grab him, like pull him by the arm, be like, come on. But I'm not guiding him anywhere.
Just giving girlfriend energy to me. I don't know why I thought it was weird.
The whole thing, this whole scene is weird to me because they come into this like pretty idyllic beach cottage and he's like, look at this shithole. We're living with the cockroaches. And I'm like, you are in a beach bungalow, sir. What are you talking about?
It's great. I would live there.
100%. Gretchen's like, I'll put time, money, energy into this. Maybe not money. They don't have money. But she's like, with a woman's touch, we can make this nice. And he is not into it. He's grouchy. And that's when she realizes maybe he didn't have the best day at school.
Yeah, he is miserable. I think maybe, you know, his summer was just so good. Being back is just, it's like whiplash. He's just...
Well, and two, you have to think like they were out on this boat and he was truly thriving. He was sailing them everywhere. He was finding them jobs. He was catching them food. Like he was the hero of the summer. And Joey was there along for the ride and also supporting him in that. So then to come back and be the loser, like pretty rough transition in his mind, in his brain. That's how he's feeling.
I know. I'm so into the buzzed hair.
I know. It's great. They probably buzzed it off the side of the boat. Wait, did they buzz before they left? No, right?
No, it was... During.
They buzzed it off the side of the boat and little birds came along and picked up pieces of it. And there's a little bird's nest built of Pacey's hair.
Do you want to live there? Do you want to go there?
Yes. Can you build me a nest?
Of Pacey's hair, a hair doll, a hair nest. Gretchen wants to live in this quote unquote like dumpster that Pacey thinks it is. I would live there. And she's like, you got to tell Joey that you're a loser and you failed three classes. He's like, I can't.
Then
we're back at the yacht club. Joey is encountering this guy who's so rude to her. And he accuses her of being like a single mom and having a baby and being poor and being trash, basically. And then he signs the check, Owen Ross, and she changes her tune.
He said, let me guess, your boyfriend bailed when the stick turned blue, left his Camaro up on blocks, something like that. Yeah, he's really, really, really rude to her. But to be fair, he hasn't yet gotten a full dose of her medicine, but he's kind of tit for tat with her. Like she speaks that way to other people and he is speaking to her the way that she speaks to other people, which was kind of refreshing.
And those piercing blue eyes, that wavy hair.
Go on.
I just love Drew Valentine.
We forgot to tell you this is now a smut podcast. Keep going. Mitch is big, thick. tie.
Pacey's shaved head. Dawson's long hair with his damp body. Oh, the damp body was last episode. He was damp from the beach. Jack's short shorts and his new muscles. I'm not into Drew's shorts, though. They're like Newsies pants or something. They look like it's weird for me.
It's also weird for me when people wear button downs, button ups. Button ups or button downs? Button front.
Button downs.
Button down shirts with long sleeve button down shirts. Not cuffed and shorts. Like if you have long sleeves with like fully long, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're wearing shorts and a button down, the button down should be
like rolled up a little bit.
Short sleeves or rolled sleeves. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was great until he stood up and then I'm like, eh. But he signs the check, Owen Ross, and she changes her tune a little. Your order will be right up, sir.
Before that, he says, you strike me as very much in touch with your dark side. I appreciate that. He sees something in this new waitress. It's so funny. The next scene, Mitch comes into Dawson's room and they start talking about the Grateful Dead. And it really, it makes a little sense to me that Mitch and Gail have some deadhead in them. You know, they're jocks. They're buttoned up. She's an HQ, but they also have a little bit of a wild side and we love to see it. They got a little jam band in them.
Good for them. Yeah. Dawson's obviously thinking of Gretchen because she convinced him not to sell the CD and he's listening to it. And Mitch enters. He wants Dawson to help Pacey.
Dawson's like, why would I? He fell for the one girl that I've loved as long as I can remember in one way or another. And he doesn't get to reap the benefits of this friendship anymore. Okay, Dawson, go off.
I mean, I get it.
Absolutely.
I get it.
No, you can tell that Dawson's done a lot of processing this summer. We didn't see any of it, but he worked through some stuff and he's still upset,
yeah.
But he's maturely upset. He's speaking about his feelings. I get it.
I'm glad we didn't see it, though. You know, it was just time for a change.
Oh, same. Big time. So Mitch says, maybe there's somebody that you know that could talk to him if you're not going to. Then we're with Andy and Jack. Jack tells her about the email that came to him from Henry. And Andy is pissed, as you said, after all these romantic gestures, after doggedly pursuing her scores of grand gestures and what could be otherwise professionals might call stalking behavior. He's calling it off with her. And honestly, amen, Andy. Amen.
And I love Andy's bedroom and how it's draped in all of her awards, like the queen she is.
She's an overachiever.
And her hair has gotten so much better this year.
Oh my God, everything. Leagues above the start of season 3.
And she just warns Jack, like, don't get in the middle of this. You're going to regret it.
Jack's in a really tough spot. That was a really terrible thing for Henry to do.
Yeah, but Henry put Jack in that position before with like the setting her up during the heat wave. And I feel like Jack already learned this lesson not to get be Jen's friend first before you're Henry's friend.
And he tried to. He tries to later in the episode. So then Joey comes to the boat with her unkempt beach waves, thriving. Her hair still hasn't recovered from the summer. And triggers Pacey by saying she cannot stay here. She got a job because she needs money, because she needs to get out of town. She can't be a townie. And that pushes him over the edge.
Yeah, he does not like the way she's talking about townies because he knows now that he might be one. And she might leave at the end of the year and go to college and he might stay. And she actually asks him how it went and he dodges it and doesn't say what the guidance counselor wanted to see him for. And it just goes off the rails. He lets her have it, saying she's a snob, and Pacey's really in a dark place.
He really is. He's spiraling. In his mind, he's already failed out of school, I feel like. And he's like, well, he's resigned to this outcome rather than bringing her into it.
Yeah. I think he just knows it's such a Herculean task. It's such an overwhelming task in front of him, you know, and if he couldn't even pass last year doing a normal workload, how's he going to do like, you know, 3 classes? That's like half of your classes. So, right. I mean, you take 6 or 7, but I will say they're eating pizza. Joey just opens like a little Parmesan cheese thing and like pours it all over the pizza. And I was just like, oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Love that. Made me want pizza so bad, this scene.
Something about pizza, eating outside, being by the water.
Just putting more cheese on it.
Maybe a little red pepper, maybe a little garlic. I don't know. I don't know for sure.
Yeah. But she's really offended and she's like, what's going on with you? And he won't tell her, even though Gretchen said to tell her.
He's insecure. He's worried how she'll react. And this is like going back to last episode where she couldn't really communicate with him exactly what she needed to do with the whole Dawson of it all. Like, and he was insecure about that. They're not communicating well now that they're back on land.
Yeah, again, Pacey's insecurities rearing its ugly head. She's like, why are you picking a fight? And he claims he isn't. And they just kind of finish their pizza in silence. It's an awkward, weird fight.
Not great. And then we're back in class and the teacher's doing attendance and Dawson's there and Pacey's not. Pacey skipped school.
Which is crazy. Like, you're not even going to try. Ugh, Pacey, I can't.
Yeah, he's giving up. Fully giving up. Then we're back to the country club, to the yacht club. Drew, Owen, we think it's Owen, come to find out it's Drew later in the episode, is filling Joey in on all of the hot goss about all of the members of the club. As someone who grew up going to a country club, did you have hot goss?
Well, I will say I worked at a country club different from the one that we belonged to because there was like levels, like there was a super, super nice one. Then there was like a less nice one. And then there was like a less nice one. Mm-hmm. We belonged to like the middle one. Mm-hmm. I worked at like the nice, nice one as a busboy to make money. Yeah, there's definitely like gossip that goes on between the workers, like that family's. Yeah. Oh, for sure. And there's always people have good reputations and bad reputations, you know, but yeah, all that gets talked about in the kitchen. Yeah.
I was a waitress at a semi-private golf club and the members were, I was just talking about this. They were not good tippers.
Mm-mm.
You would think that they would be the ones who are like rich and wanted to build a rapport with people. And let me tell you, not the case.
Yeah, it's like when you belong to clubs like that, like you just have to tip 20%, 20, 25% every time because, you know, your reputation's everything.
If you're going
to
be a regular.
Yeah, I just hate Joey's uniform. Like, I just don't feel like it's a cute. I don't feel like those colors go together at all.
I feel like they just need to take the red vests off. Like, just the blue shirt and the black on the bottom, fine.
Yeah, yeah, that could work. But, like, the black definitely doesn't go with the blue and the red.
Yeah, no, I hate it all.
But Drew is just filling her in on everybody's gossip. Like, this one's having an affair with this one. This one's boobs aren't real. And then he points to Mrs. Valentine and he says, you know, her husband divorced her for a younger woman. And so she took her kid and left New York City, but moved here and likes to work at this club. So she still feels like a socialite. And then Joey calls her a bitch. That must be why she's such a bitch.
Yeah, she sure did.
Oh, Drew.
He does have really beautiful eyes, I do have to say.
Beautiful eyes. So then Jack and Jen, and Jack's kind of probing around with Jen, just being like, how would you feel if Henry did dump you? And she sees through it immediately. And she's like, you heard from him, didn't you? And he's being weird. He's like, no, I don't know. He won't give her a straight answer. And she knows.
It's tough, though. Like, what are they going to do? Like you said, it's not the age of cell phones. It's not like he could be like, just call Henry. Like, she doesn't know how to get in touch with him outside of emailing him, outside of IMing him. And that's what she's been trying to do. So he can't live with this secret. If he doesn't tell her, she's not going to know.
It's like the way he went about it, though.
No, totally. I completely agree. What he did was weird and not correct. But as Jack, I would say, you need to talk to Henry. But he can't say that because she's been trying and she hasn't been getting a response.
Yeah. Dawson returns Joey some old CDs.
Counting Crows.
Counting Crows, which, why are you giving those away, first of all?
Love a queen with a Counting Crows collection.
Yeah, I've seen them in concert 10 million times.
I've seen them 3 times. I saw them last year, last summer, with Dashboard Confessional.
Yeah, you did. I remember that.
Crazy.
After he's done giving her Counting Crows CDs, he says, like, you might want to talk to Pacey. Something's going on. And she's like, why would you know something about Pacey that I don't know? And he's like, look, I don't know. He needs your help. Just go talk to him. Which, Dawson's being a good friend here. I wouldn't help Pacey.
He's being a really good friend. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can tell that he's not over it. He's not going to talk to Pacey himself. But he's mature. He's doing the right thing because that's his character.
Yeah.
Good for him.
If you're my friend and you steal my man, I ain't helping you. I'll help you fail out, maybe.
I'll fail you out myself. I'll change the grade book. It's cute. And then Joey goes to Pacey's.
She pushes him. It's so cute.
Well, he says, hey, there's my girl. And she's like, not today.
She gives him a shove.
She's like, what the hell?
And I like Pacey's shirt in this scene. It's only notable because he's not wearing one of those ridiculous like Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
It's a nice solid colored shirt.
And it's fitted.
It's fitted.
A lot of his clothes this season are baggy.
I wanted to say that, but then you'd accuse me of being a smut podcaster. But I do like how tight it is.
No, he looks good. He looks really good. I'm with you.
And he's like, I guess Mr. Leary has a big mouth. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
All the better to kiss you with, my dear.
All Mitch is trying to do is help and look really good.
While listening to the Grateful Dead, Gretchen is like, listen up, you're ruining your relationship, Pacey. You have got to get it together. This is self-sabotage and I won't allow it.
Yeah, because Joey and Pacey's fight ends with like her, you know, storming off.
And Gretchen says, look, the real problem here is Dawson. It's not Dad. It's not Doug. It's not you. It's not school. It's Dawson. You think that you're not as good as Dawson and she picked you. And that's the root of it all. She blows his mind wide open.
What do you think about Pacey wearing a wife beater?
I mean, I'm into it. He was wearing one last year, wasn't he? Last season.
Yeah, but today's today.
Today's today. I don't love a gray tank top. I like a white. I like a black. I'm not into a gray. But you know what? He can do no wrong. So I love it.
Yeah. I mean, he looks good. And they're whipping that apartment into shape. They bought a blender. They're doing stuff.
They're making it a home.
They're making this house a home. My question about the scene before is, how would Joey not have known Pacey wasn't in school? Like, why would she have to hear that from Dawson?
Yeah. Is he just skipping that one class, maybe? And she's not in it?
We should probably go with that, even though they do use the term skipping school, because Joey would know they kiss before school.
They're constantly together in the hallway, yeah.
So then Mrs. Valentine wants to speak to Joey, and she says, why are your checks signed by Owen Ross? You said you were friends with him, and Joey's like, I am. And she's like, well, then you should know that the Rosses are in France until after the first of the year. And Joey's caught. And Mrs. Valentine says, I don't think this is going to work out. You're a liar.
And then a voice from yonder says, no, he was here. Turn, reveal, Owen. Wait, what? No, Owen was here. Mom. Drew Valentine.
It's not Owen Ross. His name is Drew. Drew Valentine, son of the manager.
Son of that bitch.
He's the son he was talking about when he said that she moved from New York City with her son.
We love a twist. Joey follows him out to his boat and she's like, what the hell?
But he saves Joey's job. Saves her job.
He saves Joey's job. He corroborates her story and she's like, what is happening? And he says, I'm not who I said I was, but I'm a lot more fun. And we're intrigued. I'm intrigued. Could tell you that.
Do you think that Drew was originally intended to be a love interest for Joey?
Kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
In watching this episode.
It feels that way, but I don't know.
It would be a weird choice for them to introduce somebody while we're at this, like on the brink of this relationship.
Or maybe, yeah. Or like maybe they were just like, we need to introduce some new people. Let's bring in, you know, someone connected to Pacey. We'll bring in someone from Joey's work. I don't know.
Could be.
Drew is like, look, I'm fun. I was just playing a little game. And she's like, you're a freak. And then we get another Dawson Jen scene. And then I'm like, were they teasing us with Dawson Jen again? I don't know. Because he's comforting her over Henry.
Yes, this is a great Jen and Dawson scene. He says, you taught me so much. Feelings change, passions fade, partners come and go, but friendship is sacred and you were there for me and now I want to be here for you. And even though they're both spiraling about different things, they're in a great place. I don't know. I like it. I'm with you.
Yeah. And he wants to be there for her because she's been there for him. And, you know, he convinces her to give Jack a little chance right when Jack walks up and they both apologize to each other. And Jen is single, ready to mingle. We'll watch what happens live.
Two little blondies at magic hour.
I'm loving all these little friendship stories.
Me too. And they stumble upon Jack. And Jen says, I think I owe you a fairly huge apology. And Jack is caught off guard and says, that was supposed to be my line. And they have a little love fest, a little friend fest. There's a random man rowing a motorboat in the background. He's using oars, but the boat has a motor.
It's getting some extra speed, some extra velocity.
So then we're back at the docks. Joey is sitting on the boat and Pacey arrives at the boat. And she is pissed and he knows it. He tells her he talked to Gretchen and Gretchen told him that he should talk to Joey about his problems. And Joey's like, yeah, isn't that a crazy concept? Glad someone in your family has a brain cell. So then she's like, just talk to me. And so he tells her the cutest thing ever. He says, I have to start out by saying, Josephine Potter, you have wrecked me. I thought you were going to want to be with Dawson and there was never going to be a chance. Even if you liked me, there was always going to be that little piece of Dawson that was holding you back. And then you chose me and here I am. And all I can do since then is wait for the other shoe to drop. And I'm a wreck because I have this thing and I'm just waiting for it to go away. And I'm a big disappointment. And I'm just waiting for you to realize that Dawson is the one that you want to be with. Woof.
And she says, what does this have to do with Dawson? And he was like, well, Dawson would never fill out of school. And she says, yeah, but Dawson wouldn't have convinced me to run away with him all summer. And I wouldn't have had the best summer of my life with Dawson.
She said, I have this history with Dawson, but this, what we're doing right now is creating our own history. And this is where it gets rough. Like you said, we haven't weathered the storm yet. And we ran away and created our own reality. A relationship isn't a 3-week cruise. It's in the details. So this is what we're doing now. And this is the foundation that we're building. So let's do it.
And then Joshua Jackson gets like real emotional here and tearfully just breaks down and tells her everything. She says, we'll get through it.
It's really sweet.
Together.
I know we talk all the time about how he's such a good actor, but it's true. It's like he just feels so genuine in this moment. You could tell that it hurts Pacey to ask for help. It's not something that he's used to doing, and it's not something that he's used to. If he's done it in the past, it hasn't been received well. I can only imagine that he's asked his dad or Doug or somebody for support and not gotten it. So then he just learned to rely on himself. He's not used to this.
Yeah. And you always want your person to see you in the best light. Like, you know, you never want them to think you suck at your job or you suck at school or poor Pace. His dad really did a number on him.
Really, really bad. And Joey's like, come on. Like, she's very supportive in this. She's like,
yeah,
it's not all going to be our magic summer away. This is the real stuff. And he's like, I'm scared. He's really, truly resigned to the fact that he's going to flunk out of school. And she's like, no, we're going to figure it out.
And you know, I've said it before. I think I like season 4 Pacey Joey better than season 3 Pacey Joey. So I love all this stuff.
Yeah.
I like them together more than like the destroying Dawson and the friendship of it all. They just look good together. You know, mm-hmm. Like their dark hair.
I love them. Sorry.
She does say that he's emotionally R-word, which made me scream when I rewatched.
Yeah, she does. He says, how did you get to be that much smarter than me? She says, I'm not that much smarter than you. You're just emotionally
R-word. Crazy. And she's in her backless shirt era.
She will never wear a bra again. Key West has changed her.
Her shirts will never have backs. Know that.
Know that. They have this deep conversation. They do a little kissing. And then he says, let's go make out some more. And I just love that for them. Go make out some more, you two crazy kids.
It's so cute. Well, that's episode 402. Next week, we're on episode 403. What will we be drinking?
For episode 403, The Two Gentlemen of Capeside, we will be drinking The Perfect Storm. You will need spiced rum, lime juice, Angostura bitters, and ginger beer.
That sounds good.
It's a spin on the Dark and Stormy. And I don't know if everyone remembers, Micah has sworn off Dark and Stormy since he got an injury after episode 105 of the hurricane.
When I burned my hand on a pizza tray?
Yeah.
The nerve ending finally stopped like hurting.
Praise be.
I recovered.
This may be your triumphant return to a stormy drink.
Well, I'm excited. We are cruising and I just love this season.
I'm really excited to be here. Everyone's tan.
Everyone is tan.
It's a whole new Capeside.
Jack is very tan.
Jack is tan. Jack is ripped.
And next episode is really good if I do recall.
High drama. Lots happens.
I'll be here. You'll be here. We'll be here together. Okay.
Bye.